The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Please turn to page 109 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 10, 1 to 16. Allow me to read the words. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest in them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." Amen. Let me give you an announcement ahead of the sermon regarding the Joint Committee voting for the amendments of the Articles of Association. Today, the Joint Committee voting for the amendment of the Articles will be held. Electronic voting by mobile phones will be available until 9 p.m. and direct voting until 6 p.m. at the Fellowship Hall on the first floor of the Mission Memorial Hall. Our church has made the Articles of Association ever since the foundation of our church and have run the church in accordance with the Articles because we believed that that was the way to keep the church as a church should be without being swayed by certain people. Also, because we believed that this was another way of serving by paving the path for the future of churches in Korea. That is why our church articles well convey the mindset of the church and the management plans. It is especially written in the structure in which the church ministers and fellow believers can serve the church cooperatively. At first, the articles were written with minimum content to avoid being restrained to each and every provision. Also, at the time, there weren't as many fellow worshippers attending the church, so we shared the implications inside the articles with everyone. But as more and more people started to join our church, more and more people did not fully understand the implications inside the articles and only understood them only by the surface. Moreover, as our church has decided to implement co-pastorship starting in November 2018, an overall revision of the articles was essential. That is why the church has organized the preparatory committee for the future and held public hearings for the articles to help proper understanding of the church articles and amendments since 2016. In September 2016, our senior pastor Lee Jae-cha held a public hearing for 2 weeks during the Wednesday Bible studies to explain the contents of the articles, and the preparatory committee conducted 5 more hearings. Altogether, there were a total of 7 public hearings. in December 2017, the Committee for the Amendment of the Articles of Association was launched and started to work on the amendments. This committee is a combined team of the legal team and the preparatory committee from the church, consisting of 14 members, including 5 lawyers. The amendment committee announced the draft for the amended articles at the 161st Standing Committee meeting in February 2018. Ever since, the amendment committee gathered opinions of the members of the Standing Committee every month and proposed the final amendment in June of 2018 at the 165th Standing Committee meeting, with 93.4% in favor of the final amendments. 61 out of 76 members have attended the meeting, and 57 people voted in favor, and 4 members have voted against it. On June 27, 2018, at the 25th Steering Committee, 250 out of 375 members have attended the meeting and voted. The outcome was 237 votes in favor, 12 votes against, and 1 invalid, and the final amendment was passed with 94.8% in favor. The amended articles were revised to respect the existing articles and at the same time to clearly express the contents so that no misunderstanding may occur regarding the contents in the future. Also, the amendments convey the spirit of the church and primary principles for the management of the church, and the detailed clauses are written inside the detailed enforcement regulations so as to make the articles serve as the constitution for the church. We also made the decision-making process more transparent through checks and balances by each organization of the church, and enabled participation of more people to make church members feel more deepened sense of belonging. According to the current articles, the amended articles can be confirmed as a new Articles of Association, taking effect just by passing the votes from the standing and steering committees, meaning it does not have to go through joint committee voting. But we have decided to take joint committee voting in hopes that the amendments will bring consensus of all church members and that our new attempt for 4-pastor joint ministry system can become a role model for the Korean churches. Our votes will become the founding stone of making our church and other churches in Korea healthier. The amendments of the articles can only be passed with more than 1/5 of the registered members participating in the vote and 2/3 of the voting members need to vote in favor of the amendment. At the moment, there are 10,191 members who are currently eligible to vote that are over 18 years of age, have been registered to our church for over 6 months, and have been baptized. Among them, at least 2,039 members must vote, and 1,360 out of the voters should be in favor of the amendment to pass. If possible, please vote through mobile phones. If not available, please vote directly at the fellowship hall. In chapter 9, Jesus gathered his 12 disciples and gave them the power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases and sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. Today's passage also witnesses of the incident in which Jesus appoints other people and sends them out. Verse 1 says as follows, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go." Right now, Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem, where hardship, mockery, and death on the cross is waiting for him. And yet, Jesus did not sway one bit on going where he was supposed to go and doing what he was supposed to do. Jesus paired his followers two by two as he sent them out. He had paired his 12 disciples two by two as well. The reason why he paired them two by two was the sake of efficiency and legal effectiveness. It is best not to be hindered by the surroundings while spreading gospel, more specifically to a person. So when a person is preaching the gospel, the other can substitute for the work that the receiver had been doing, or maybe look after a child if he or she starts whining, or support them with prayer from the side. Also, two people were the minimum number of witnesses required at a trial in the Old Testament days, because there were possibilities that one witness could commit perjury. The court gave sentences after hearing at least two witnesses. The reason why the Lord paired the 70 people two by two was to prove that the gospel from God's kingdom is not a lie, but truth, and the eternal life. But then, Jesus said something before sending the 70 people out. Verse 3 testifies as follows. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. The Bible describes the Israelites or as Christians as lambs when comparing to animals. Lambs have no measures for survival. Lambs do not possess sharp teeth or claws, nor are they fast. Lambs without a shepherd can only become a prey for the predators. And here Jesus says that he is sending his followers to the wolves. Lambs can never defeat a wolf in a fight. Wouldn't it have been better if he said, sending you out is like sending out lions or tigers to the wolves? Wouldn't it have been exciting to spread gospel using whatever power, be it authority, money, or academic strength, that God gave us, saying, will you believe in Jesus and survive, or will you perish without believing? Or even, I feel like if they were told, sending you out is like sending out an elephant to the wolves, then the followers would have been able to spread out gospel without being discouraged, because an elephant won't bother a wolf in the first place, and a wolf won't dare to mess with something with the size of an elephant. But that is not what the Lord said. The places where the 70 followers were headed were never easy places. The places where they were to spread the kingdom of God were depicted as follows, from verses 12 to 15. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. The cities that 70 followers were headed to were Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Those cities were all located north of the Lake of Galilee. At the time, there were many Jews who married Gentiles in Galilee. They were considered Gentiles as well because they were considered to have failed to keep the purity in Jewish blood. Also, although the land around Galilee region were fertile and fish were abundant in the lake, most of the people who lived there were very poor. It was because a very few upper-class people had taken over most of the economy in the region. Many people had moved in from different regions in pursuit of better life, but only a few had managed to live a better life. Most people became tenant farmers who barely managed to borrow land, or even became day-to-day workers. Jesus started his ministry in Galilee. Jesus gave warnings to his 70 followers that he sent out to spread the kingdom and gospel of God as follows. And the first part of verse 4. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. This means that an evangelist must only rely on God and God only. In other words, God will take care of all food, clothing, and shelter that is needed. Relying everything on God without seeking for help from other people during ministry work is called a faith mission. It is a term used without being translated into another language, but if we do translate, it may be translated as believing mission in Korean. In Switzerland, there is a Christian community called L'Abri, which means shelter in French. In a small town called Wemoz, about 50 kilometers southeast from Lausanne, where the Olympic Museum is. The community was founded in 1955 by an American pastor, Francis Schaeffer, and his wife. It has now become a place where many seekers of truth from all over the world visit to discover truth. The community also has dormitories and data centers in 11 different places worldwide. At first, the community started off when Pastor Schaeffer and his family started serious discussions about the truth with a few visitors without any support. L'Abri started off with the purpose of showing that God is living and his words are the truth through life and ministry. And in order to fulfill the purpose, they came up with four principles. First, they would not ask for money, making their needs known only to God. Their first principle is that they do not receive utility fees or food expenses from those who come to L'Abri. That way, they believe that L'Abri will not turn into a hotel or retreat center where people can conversate seriously about truth in a comfortable atmosphere. Second, they would not recruit staff depending on God to send them the right people. They pray that God will send those who seek the truth, not those who come for sightseeing or skiing. Third, they would plan only short range to allow for God's sovereign guidance. Fourth, they would not publicize themselves, but trust that God would send them those in need. This is a representative case of faith mission. I have mentioned about something like this before, but are there those who think pastors and evangelists should possess nothing? Or question back saying, all Christians are the Lord's followers and disciples. Does that mean we can't save money, can't own a house, and donate all we have to others except for the money to feed ourselves? But hear this, Jesus has said as follows at the Last Supper in Luke chapter 22, verses 35 to 36. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? nothing, they answered. He said to them, But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. This time, he says that we should have everything. Jesus is telling them that because when his followers go out on a mission, following after Jesus' footsteps, the situation may change and they will be scattering about to different places that are not all Jewish districts, which the situations will be different. So what the phrase, do not take a purse or a bag with sandals, emphasizes is that what we are to do is to ultimately trust in God, not ourselves or our possessions. In any case, we do not trust God but ourselves. We should realize that we are far away from God's will. The Lord continues to tell his followers who are about to go to spread his gospels in the last part of verse 4, and do not greet anyone on the road. It almost seems too impolite to not even greet anyone on the road. But this does not mean don't even say hi. If we were to travel back in time and met a person we know very well, and we just passed by after saying just hello, the person would think us very rude. The greeting method of the farmers of the time were very different. If you meet someone you know on the street, you hug each other by the neck and say shalom, shalom, after kissing each other's cheeks, and then put your right hand on the chest, then lips, then slowly to the forehead, and shake each other's hand after that. Placing your hand on the chest means, I love you with true heart. Placing your hand on your lips means, I want to share a kiss of friendship. And placing it on your forehead means, I respect and honor you. This was the norm. It was the norm to ask of each other's tidings after greeting each other that way. They would conversate with each other for at least 30 minutes, mostly complimenting each other, and then hug and bid goodbye. They considered greeting more important than time, and that a person should not act hasty because of time. Spending lots of time greeting each other was the custom of the time. So if you read chapter 4 of 2 Kings, Elisha says as follows when sending off Gehazi, his servant, to the house when Shunammite's son died. Elisha said to Gehazi, Tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. Elisha was saying that there is no time to waste 30 minutes to greet people because there is an urgent matter. The reason why Elisha sent Gehazi was equal to that of why Jesus dispatched his followers. If the people of a country or a city are starving due to an earthquake or flood, and our church has decided to send off food and relief supplies, it is best to send them as quickly as possible. One would never be able to say, Isn't sending late better than not sending? If we knew that our aid can save one more life, we would never hesitate even for a minute. The Lord's gospel is equivalent to that kind of aid. No, it's even more urgent because eternal life depends on it. That is why the Lord told the people not to greet people on the road. He also warned them as follows in verse 7. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. He approved that they be treated from the house that received gospel, as they did not take their purses or bags, but told them not to move around from house to house. This does not mean receiving favor once or twice does not make a difference, so receive all the favors from one house. Imagine that you're spreading God's kingdom in a village for a certain period of time. And the first night you stay at a believer's place where they treated you with so much care. The next day you move to another house because it's bigger and nicer. And the next day you move to another because the owner of the house is someone you know. The next day to another because the food is excellent. The person who treated you up front and accommodated you will feel hurt. Jesus is saying that they should not do such things as to hurt others. In fact, among those who used to be believers and now have lost faith, many have drifted away from the church more because of the undesirable behaviors of the ministers or church members rather than being disappointed in God. This is why Jesus is warning the followers. The Lord gave a promise to his 70 followers as he sent them out in verse 16. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. This is saying that the followers who have been sent is equal to the Lord who has sent them. This is how the Lord always regards us. When Saul was heading to Damascus with the letters from the high priest to capture Christians, the resurrected Lord met him. At that time, Jesus said to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul persecuted Christians, but the Lord considered the persecution done on him. It is because the Lord is the head and we are his body. Chorazin, Capernaum, and Bethsaida, situated on the northern coast of the Lake of Galilee, were where most of Jesus' miracles occurred. The centurion's servants, Peter's mother-in-law, the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and Jairus' dead daughter. They were all saved in Capernaum. Jesus fed at least 5,000 men with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in the empty field of Bethsaida. And yet, they did not receive the words of eternal life that the Lord has given. Jesus sent his followers to spread the gospel again, because they had no other hope other than the gospel and the kingdom of God. But then, as he sent his followers out there, he said that it was like sending a lamb among the wolves. The lives that we live are not so different from that of the disciples. If there are people who do not know of the gospel, then they are the people from Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. We do not hold events such as All Out Evangelism Sunday or Stray Lamp Invitation Day at our church. It is because we believe that spreading gospel does not happen at such events. We do not demand members to bring unbelievers to church or force evangelism to how many people at every start of the new year. Because we know that spreading gospel cannot be done forcefully. But because we don't hold such events or demand such things, it does not mean that we do not have to have compassion towards the souls. In fact, if we do not feel compassion for the souls of our parents who adamantly refuse the gospel, even on the brink of their last breaths, of our children who live their own way without God in their lives, or of those around us who boast to believe in their own fists rather than in God, then we ourselves are not true Christians at all. The family invitation night that we hold every fall is our desperate wish and event we prepare with tears to turn those in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum into God's people. Jesus said that sending us was like sending lambs among wolves. It is obvious that a lamb will be gobbled up by the wolves. Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem as a lamb himself. That Jerusalem swallowed Jesus, the young lamb. However, it was through Jesus, the eternal life and lamb, that Jerusalem and the entire humankind were able to receive eternal life. However financially abundant, have outstanding abilities, and lack nothing people around us may seem, if they do not have the Lord by their side, then they are the ones from Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, because there is no way they can receive eternal life and resolve their weights, wounds, and fears inside their hearts without the gospel. Now, the Lord sends us to the places where he has planted with all his heart and soul. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And so we stand right here on the place of worship to be sent to our own Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for calling us before anyone else, allowing us to believe in the Lord and his words, and revive our souls and become the children of God who enjoys eternal life, even though we are not exceptionally good-hearted or brighter or more upright than the others. However, we only enjoy the grace that the Lord grants us and did not head to the places like those followers that were sent by the Lord, but rather considered the places that we are staying at like a parking lot. Moreover, the Lord told us that I am sending you out like lambs among wolves, like he said to his disciples. But we have blocked our ears to stop listening, or pretended that we didn't hear, even though we did, and turned away. Let us head out to our own Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, where God has planted us with all his heart and soul. Let us feel compassion for those who are there who do not know God and the eternal life. Those who were stuck in themselves, not being able to let go of what they have captured in their hands. And those who busy themselves to catch the finite things that they will eventually regret of. Let us be like the Lord, who became the eternal winner, even though it seemed like he was swallowed like a lamb in Jerusalem, so that the place among wolves will become the place where eternal life sprout and become the place of victory. Father God, thank you for allowing the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church to make the church articles and operate the church in accordance with the articles, a church that does not sway by people, and a church where the Lord is the master. Today, there will be a voting for the passing of the amended articles. Just as we change the clothes of our children as they grow, our church has grown and is about to start a new system called the co-pastorship. And so we are trying to prepare new clothes for the church in the form of new articles. Please allow the new articles to be the instrument to make our church more healthier and be the stepping stones for the future of Korean churches. Above all, let these articles become the certificate that shows that the Lord is the master of the church. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.